of just oversee the whole publication process, organize editorial meetings. I try to read all the submissions we get, sort of organize the meetings and try to get us to come to some selective conclusion, I guess. And just, yes, oversee the whole the process from getting to the web and also into print, too.
Okay, so let's back up a bit. Tell me, what was the original idea to fashion a magazine of this sort? What prompted you to start this? Or what was missing, perhaps, that you felt, you know, the journal would provide?
Yeah, we definitely noticed there was a lack of creative outlets for creative writers and also a place for English undergraduates to publish their academic papers. A lot of other departments, like art history and history, had undergraduate journals, but we noticed the English department surprisingly didn't have one, which is really surprising. So that started, we started out trying to fulfill that niche that we saw was missing.
And how did you get the word out? I mean, I have an essay in a drawer. How do I get it to you for consideration? Or how do I even know about it? I don't remember seeing signs around campus, for example.
Certainly at the start, a lot of it was word of mouth. And so we would go from classroom to classroom and make little dorky announcements saying, you know, this is the new magazine that we're starting up. And of course, we got a lot of questions about it. And it was great being able to talk to students one-on-one. Now we kind of have a bit of more of a print campaign, I guess, having posters and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and advertising on websites and other events. But still, I think, pretty word of mouth for the most part.
Yeah, well, we definitely have a bigger presence now than when we started. A lot of the way we sort of disseminate information is by email, online advertising like Facebook, just working with like people we know and friends. And since the English community is pretty close among undergraduates, that's a really quick way to spread word and get people excited about the journal.
And it's also proven a really great way for us to meet people who are doing similar writing to us or similar creative work, because as soon as you put out a call for work, as the Garden Statuary does, you get a lot of creative folks interested in work. You get to meet a lot of cool people.
So are you telling me there's no problem in soliciting material?
Not yet. No, if anything, we've had a lot of material to filter through, which is always super exciting.
We get about 150 submissions each term.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And can I submit a web-based project or essay or two pages of text and then a link to my project? I mean, what I really want to know is how avant-garde do you consider the journal?
Well, I think the fact that we publish online has helped us do more multimedia work. So we've been able to publish some videos, some music, which has been really exciting and something very unique to an undergraduate journal in that regard. We've also, you know, are still able to publish links to people's other works. I think in our About the Author section, people will post links to their blogs or other recurring work that they're going through.
Tell me how you decide to accept a piece.
Don't
blush. I haven't submitted yet. When I do, it'll be with an alias, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, all our submissions are reviewed without our knowledge of the author's name, so it's all reviewed blind. What we do is we divide the editors up into groups by genre, we call it. So we have a fiction editorial section, a poetry section, academic section, and one that we call kind of ambiguously multimedia, which is the visual art, music, and film. And so we have editorial meetings, and we talk about the submissions there, and we make our decisions in the meeting. There's some debate and discussion about, you know, merits and disadvantages of the pieces. Usually just from having that one discussion, sometimes two discussions, we come to a decision then.
So are you looking for a consensus among the editorial board, or do you literally take a vote?
We try to
look
for
the secrets, you see.
It's usually a consensus, and it's usually pretty unanimous, actually. There might be one or two editors that disagree with the decisions that we make, but usually if it's such a huge divide if it's too much of a conflict of deciding in the first place, then we usually choose not to publish it. These are pieces we feel pretty firmly altogether that they should be published.
Generally, what gets the editorial staff excited.
Mm-hmm.
So we find if people light up after they've started reading a text or talking about a text, or if there's fiery debate in either direction, usually that's a sign that the work bears merit and that we should either continue to publish it or, you know, work with the author for revisions or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the interesting features of literary magazines, and I think I could say this of today, is that odd balance between poetry and prose. Are you consciously aware of trying to keep a bit of a balance? Or would you, for example, do an all-poetry issue or an all-prose issue?
We do try to have a balance between both, which is why we have those two separate meetings, one for poetry and one for prose. I know that the genres can be sort of, there's a blur between them and not a really fine line of, that can be drawn. And yeah, I think we do try to keep a balance. We don't try to favor one or the other, per se.
But I do think one thing that's quite unique about the Garden Statuary is that we also publish academic work, which is quite exciting because there are a lot of really great journals on campus that just do creative work, poetry and prose, but we have been trying to incorporate also, you know, student essays on and things that they've done in their literature courses or in their sociology courses or things like that. So mainly providing a showcase for what students are excited about and what students are working on. Less a question of, you know, we only publish poetry, only publish prose, rather getting a sense of the pulse of what lit students and language mm-hmm. students are doing on campus yeah. and find ways of showcasing that.
Yeah, I should have mentioned this earlier. We have an interesting new category that we started last year called the Garden Statutory, which is a prose category too, but it actually doesn't really have any form technically.
It's rants, a lot of it.
It's a bit of a satire favorite. Category. Yeah. How we describe it, if we can... Mm-hmm. It's kind of either a celebration or something that satirizes or celebrates the humanities or arts discipline in general. So for example, like the first one that we got was one person, Maddie Gorman, she wrote a critique of Yogi Tea, and she wrote a letter to this tea company that has these really ambiguous sayings, and she was criticizing their grammar and their logic in their sayings.
On all of the tea bags, they'd have a little quote mm-hmm. or a little funny thing.
Yeah, and then the other piece was Kyle Robertson, who has some really interesting tips that he posts on Twitter about how to be a good humanities student. So...
Things which I believe he initially postered up around Irving K. Barber on little posters.
And he made signs and posted them around Irving K. Barber and Buchanan, I believe.
That's a wonderful transition, right? I mean, little post-its, then maybe on a blog, mm-hmm. and then into the journal. That's mm-hmm. fantastic. Yeah. I think that's great.
And then back into print when we do it.
Right. Okay, we'll get to that in a second, okay. But I do have to ask you about the title of the journal. If I saw somewhere the reference to the Garden Statuary, I would have thought I'm looking at an offshoot of Home and Garden magazine or The Gardener or something of that sort. So tell us a bit about, A, how you came to this title, and B, what do you think it represents?
Yeah, it started out kind of as a joke. One of my friends, Bron Malloy, she had a comment on one paper, The Professor Shall Be Unnamed, but the comment was basically, this paragraph is like a garden statuary, pretty useless and distracting. And so we kind of riffed off of that and decided to take the name The Garden Statuary and adopt it as our journal name simply because we consider ourselves, back when it was in the early stages, that we were just kind of pretty useless and distracting in a sort of self-deprecating way. And since then it's evolved into, I think, something perhaps less satirical than that.
Do you have a logo? I don't recall seeing an actual... Or a logo based on a garden statue?
We had a few in the past, and we've kind of played around with different logos and just sort of moved to a text format. But we used to have one where there was a statue and a crow on top, and I think a
headless statue with a bird on top.
Yeah, so we've gone through many iterations of the garden statue.
Well, it's evolving. I think that's great. That's great. So the move to print, how did that come about? And this is surely... backward, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to go from print to digital?
I think part of it, quite frankly, had to do with cost, because of course it is a little bit easier to publish online now than it would have been, you know, 10 years ago or so. But from that, we merged with the English Students Association, which was quite exciting, and it also meant that we were able to fund a print edition. But it was partly because, you know, I think Atlas, the history journal, is in print, and Sojourners, I believe, which is the sociology journal, is in print, and we thought it would be really nice to have a tangible thing for students to have and a record of their work that they could take home or, you know, put on your shelf. Mm-hmm. Certainly I would get excited about that. I am excited.
Yeah, I mean, we started out, because of cost reasons, but also just because it's way more accessible and it provides a way more open readership. None of the other undergraduate journals, actually they do publish. They publish a print edition, but they just kind of scan the pages and put them online, whereas we were interested in actually making the form of the journal fit an online medium.
Will you charge something for the print version, or will I need to subscribe, and that way I have access both to the digital and to the print?
As of yet, we have not thought about subscriber fees. Yes, it'll cost money to buy the print edition just because of purely printing costs, but we aren't interested in making, say, a profit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could I appear in one and not the other? For example, the print might be limited to, let's say, 60 pages or 40 pages, but of course, digitally, you can have as large an issue as you wish. So is it conceivable that the print version of the journal might not be as inclusive as the digital version of the same issue?
At this point, I'm not sure if that's much of an issue. The way we're planning on doing our first print issue is taking everything that we did in our first online issue and our second online issue and merging them together into a retrospective of everything from last year. I don't know if we would be able to publish more online than in print, just given the fact that we're already quite selective of what we publish online, so I don't know.
Yeah,
if that would
of
be.
Course, what you do lose is our film and music submissions, because mm-hmm. you can't publish them in print, obviously. Which, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. we are going to try to publish our visual art and photography, though, in print.
Which sounds very exciting. Mm-hmm. Really is quite spectacular. When do you think you might have the first print issue available?
Start of April, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so not that long.
Not too far away,
too
no.
Not too far. So what explains the high interest in submissions and in the journal itself today? That is to say, you made some reference earlier about the kind of creative energy of so many people, and when they hear there's an opportunity, you're almost flooded with, you know, submissions. But why do you think that is? Is it people constantly looking for outlets for their own critical or creative work, which has always been there, and you've come along and now provided this venue? Or is it the other way around? They hear about the journal, and I think I'll go home and write something now. In fact, I have an epic that I'm just needing to finish and then submit it. How do you explain this fascination, this drive to be read?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pretty sure there's some amount of self-flattery that goes into it. The idea of being read is, of course, I think it has a lot of draw. Personally, being a writer, I'm certainly attracted to the idea. But I think, yeah, the idea of providing a place and also having that place encourage writing is a sort of positive feedback loop. It keeps on getting more people writing, provides a place for people to be read. And also I think people are just really excited to see what their peers are writing, just knowing, I know that person, I can read their writing. That's something really exciting. I think a lot of people have responded extremely positively to that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, giving students a sense of what a really top-notch academic essay in English looks like, mm-hmm. or in sociology or any other discipline, giving a sense of, you know, cool things that students have done with their essays. I think that we've had some submissions where they've incorporated maps or they've done mm-hmm. other sort of multimedia things as well. So it's neat being able to see what is possible, I guess, and that's something that we do like to showcase. Now, of course, there is a subset of students who are interested in publishing, you know, in hopes of putting it on their resume, and we have no problem with that. The UBC ran an article in 2012 about student undergraduate journals and mm-hmm. why those exist and why students are so excited about them, and their main selling point really was that it helps people get into grad school, and that's not really why we exist. I mean, for us, it's kind of been more of a community focus and getting student writers connected with other student writers, mm-hmm. either through launch parties or through the website or through newsletters or anything like that. But it is a very real and practical thing. Students get excited about submitting in part because they want to be part of an undergraduate journal, but mm-hmm. also because they want to get a sense of what being published is like and get feedback on their work, potentially yeah. from readers around.
Yeah, many writers who submit their work, they are interested in just seeing where they are at in their writing stage. Can they be published at this point? Could they get more feedback on their writing? Which is a part of the journal that we think is really important too, just supporting the process of writing in general.
Were there any models before you started that you looked at? Were there any examples? Were you familiar with many undergraduate or graduate journals and general literary journals that have been around for years, like the Paris Review, for example?
I definitely looked at some of the existing undergraduate journals around UBC. Ignite, the Women and Gender Studies Journal, was a really good way just to figure out how you do the publication and submission process. That was really useful. But in terms of literary journals, I think looking at sort of PRISM, which is the journal run out of the UBC Creative Writing Department, that was really, really useful. Looking at, there's just so many different literary journals around Canada, like ARC Poetry, Grain, Prairie Fire, Event Magazine in Vancouver.
I think a lot of our inspiration for the print edition has also come from publications mm-hmm. that were run out of the English Student Society in previous years. We recently, you know, went into their office, which we now kind of operate out of, I suppose. But we found all sorts of cool archives and exciting old literary journals from the 80s and from 2005. There was Uprooted, which was a student literary magazine, which was very, very well put together and quite an inspiration for a lot of the work we want to do in our print magazine. And then, of course, there was ARC Poetry, mm-hmm. I think, which was published by UBC Students Society. And that was in 1980. And we also have issues of Roots. So being able to go through and see that there was a tradition of literary journals on campus and that somewhere along the way it kind of went by the wayside, we really liked the opportunity to pick things up again, especially granted that other departments had done a really good job of keeping their magazines afloat, I suppose. Certainly Atlas has been around for mm-hmm. a while. So
that leads to almost my final question. How would you like to see the journal develop? And let's say you both come back to campus 5 years from now. Or you don't come back to campus, but you
just stay, never leave.
No, you will graduate.
No.
I predict that. But you, 5 years from now, you come upon again the website, the Garden Statuary. What would you like to see? How do you imagine the journal progressing?
I think having it still there would be really, really nice. I think seeing it keep on expanding in different multimedia forms. Right now, people see it primarily as a literary and academic journal, which it definitely is. But I think people should take advantage of the fact that we publish film and photography and visual art, and letting people use that combination of different mediums to create new works that they couldn't with just words, say, which I would hope to see more innovation using those different multimedia categories.
It's also worth noting that we accept submissions from UBCO students as well, and to date we haven't received anything from them, but we really do want to sort of expand the folks that we publish by encouraging UBCO students to also submit, kind of broadening the submission mix mm-hmm, for sure, and getting more students outside of English, which is quite exciting, because in the past we've had philosophy students, psychology students, but it's always exciting to encourage interdisciplinary discussions as well, because it means that when we have things like launch parties, students from all different departments and faculties are able to talk about, you know, the issues and the things that we've published.
All right, so ending on a very practical note, how do I submit a piece? What do I do? Where do I go? What postal box do I leave it?
All our submission process is online, so you go to www.thegardenstatuary.com, or you can just Google The Garden Statuary, and I think we're the first thing that pops up now.
I hope we're the first thing.
And we have submission guidelines there. We have different guidelines for each genre that you might be submitting to. And then what you do is you just attach it in an email and you send it to thegardenstatuary@gmail.com.
One of the issues with every journal, no matter how old or new, is how long will it take before I learn whether or not my piece has been accepted? Do you have some guidelines there? Because, you know, sometimes twice a year the editorial committee works, although that's more with publishers rather than, you know, journals. So I'm a young, and well, of course I'm young, but a young writer, and I've submitted my first piece. When might I hear something?
You can expect to hear about, I would say, 4 or 5 weeks after you after the submission deadline. We have a really quick pace after that. As soon as the submission deadline is done, we basically have our editorial meetings 2 weeks after that. And then by then we should have our final selections done. And the third or fourth week, usually I send out the emails to everyone about their submission. So it's very quick. Shouldn't be too painful.
I'm nervous already. I don't know what I should submit first.
Well, the submission deadline is coming up quite soon. It's February 15th at midnight. stroke of midnight. And yeah, we're looking for academic essays in English. We're also looking for fiction, poetry, nonfiction. We also accept stage and screenplays. I'm sure a radio play might be quite interesting. And visual art, photography, music, and film.
So graduate students are not really encouraged?
Unfortunately, no. It's undergraduate right now.
Excellent. Very, very good. Well, I'd like to thank both Sarah Sheehan and Laura Rittman, founding members, editorial board members of the Garden Statuary, now in its second year, and encourage everyone to look at the website and to await the appearance of the first print issue. I hope there'll be a gala launch party.
There will, yeah.
There will indeed.
Excellent. Great. And I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and please join us again for another episode of UBC Arts on Air. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
your love.